Our Old Testament scripture reading comes from Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 8. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. They shall dwell in their own land." Our New Testament reading comes from Mark 6, verses 30 to 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves of fish do you have? How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, how many of you heard about this movie that's going out called The Jesus Revolution? Yes, you've heard it. How many have seen The Jesus Revolution? About the same amount. The Jesus Revolution is a famous story. I was many, many moons ago in a church called the Vineyard Church, and it had been a product of this California crazy revival. And the basic synopsis, if I'm honest with you, is the hippies were looking for truth. And they were looking for it in all kinds of places. And they had the sexual revolution going on. They had Derrida and Foucault, the famous postmodern philosophers. They had all these ideas. And whatever they were anti-establishment. Okay, they were breaking it down. Maybe we just turn my mic a bit down. I'm getting feedback. Is that okay? Can you still hear me? Perfect. And what happened was, on the other side, and I'm going by my history lessons here, but you guys, some of you guys are probably there. Some of you. Apparently, there was a reaction to the hippies, and it was during the Vietnam War. And there was a very nationalistic, very nationalistic side, clean cut, right things, guns, Nixon, and God, right? And they were the other side of this battle. And it seemed at that time that you had to choose between guns, God, and Nixon, or the hippie sexual revolution. Well, in this story, as it goes on, the hippies become, as it historically was told, became lost. They were looking at this and it wasn't satisfying. These drugs they were taking weren't making them all of a sudden happy and overwhelmed with joy. And then there was this moment where this gentleman named Lonnie Friesen, and he would be called a little eccentric to say the least, went into this person's named Chuck Smith's house in California, and he started something, the two of them, that would change North America Christianity. And I'm going to show you this clip. It's a clip from the movie, but I want you to pay attention to the one scene where he says, "We're like sheep without a shepherd." Now, I understand, because it's such a new movie, that this is a trailer, so it's a little bit of a sales thing, but listen closely to what he says about the hippies during that time.
Jeanette tells me you're a pastor.
Yes. Currently.
I know we must seem pretty strange. But if you look a little deeper, if you look with love, you'll see a bunch of kids that are searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places. So to answer your question, how do I describe my people? They're sheep without a shepherd, chasing hard after lies. And the trouble is, your people reject them. So I ask you, Pastor, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? We can only walk through doors open to us. And your church? Well, that's a door that's shut.
Seems to me that in our text today, Jesus is making a very profound comment. The church is shut to these people that are following him. At least the church of God. What does that mean to us today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care about us, that you want your church to be pure and true, that you want us to bring in the sheep and a shepherd, and that you want us to see you as the ultimate shepherd, which we are all sheep under. We pray today you help us to be that, so that we can be called the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a little something you need to understand before we get into this is you have to understand what's been going on till now. You have Jesus come. Mark lets us know through quoting Isaiah and Malachi that this is the new Exodus promised through Isaiah. This is the day of the Lord warned about in Malachi. That Israel is going to have their moment because the Lord has shown up. And so far, it's been a mixed bag at best. Jesus is healed, he's cast out demons, but he's also been hated and almost wanted to be killed already because he's healed on the wrong day. He's even healed, brought back from the dead, a little girl. He's taken on this great demoniac that no one else could handle, just with a word. And yet he's gone to his hometown and he has been rejected. And in the last bit, we'll remember this, that he sent out the disciples two by two. Don't ever forget that. Two in the Old Testament means you're going there to witness, because this is a legal issue. Will you accept this kingdom or not? And he says to them, if they do, bless them, heal them, cast out their demons. If they don't, clear off the dust of your feet. There's a yes, no to this. There's a choice, a response. And then Mark brilliantly writes the next two stories to show us what kingdoms are available to these Jews. The Jewish leaders had told them that there would be a Messiah like Caesar. So he showed them a picture, didn't we, last week, of someone like Caesar. Herod Antipas, big party, all the famous people, but afraid of John. He finally gets tricked because of lust into killing John because his prepubescent daughter danced in front of him in an erotic way. And what Mark's trying to say is, you want to see what Caesar's like? This is what you're looking at. And now today, we get to see what Jesus is like. What is his kingdom like, juxtaposed to last week? Well, let's see. The apostles return to Jesus, and I'm sure they're stoked. None of these guys had healed anyone before. None of them had cast demons out, and they must be ready to just sit down for a week in a nice little retreat center and tell him about it. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. That word is wilderness. Remember that. And rest a while. Always Jesus taking care, isn't it? Always taking care. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. They don't even have enough time because people are so hungry for what they're teaching and they're doing. That's a hint that you got some sheep that are starving. And they went away in the boat to the wilderness. He says it twice. I've taught you before, when you start hearing something twice or three times, man, you're supposed to focus on that. Remember this, folks. This is happening in the wilderness. And they go by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all over the towns and got there ahead of them. In this particular picture, you get a sense of both and genders, children, everybody, don't you? It's just the great they coming out of there. And when he saw, and he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And what does he do? Well, unlike Antipas, who has pride and fear, God has compassion. He looks at these people and he feels love on them. And why? Because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And what does he do? He begins to teach them many things. Now that word sheep without a shepherd was bigger than you think. Old Testament is full of allusions of shepherd being the people that are running Israel, but also of God. And often and again, it shows up that to be a sheep without a shepherd, you are letting your nation down. You're not leading them the way of God. Look at Jeremiah. Woe, the prophet says, to the shepherds who destroys and scatters the sheep of my pasture, the Lord's pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. God cares about his people. He cares when they're being taught stuff that doesn't lead them to him. And Jesus sees this group of people who are longing for the Caesar figure to come, because that's the way they were taught. Their Messiah was going to have a sword and was going to be violent. And all he sees are desperate sheep who've lost their shepherds. Nope, I missed my hit. There we go. Well, it grew late. What does that mean? Is he emphasizing late to the day of the Lord? That's how it's Old Testament used. I don't know. But his disciples came to him and said, "This is a wilderness." Oh, I think we're trying to be told something by now, don't you? Three times now. In one pericope, he said, "The wilderness." "And the hour is now late." They say that twice. "Send them away and to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." The way of the disciples is very practical, but it's just like the shepherds who are, woe. They want to scatter the sheep. Send them away. Get them away. Tell them to go buy it. Now, I don't know if you guys know much about the wilderness, but if you guys had 5,000 people out in the wilderness, how sensible would it be to say to them, "Hey, go get them to buy food"? There were no bakeries. The disciples can only be thinking, "We can't do this. Make them make it on their own." I don't blame them, by the way. I want you to know that if I'm following Jesus, I'm not getting any of this. But Jesus isn't up for that, because he's going to teach him something. But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." 5,000 people. How exasperated would you be if you're Peter or John at this point? "You give them something." "Yeah, sure, Jesus." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread?" That's a half a year's salary for one person. "And give it to them to eat." They didn't even have the money. Where are they going to buy it? And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." Something's going on here. And now he's going to start teaching them. But we have to have eyes to see what he's teaching. And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Now, do you remember what he called the disciples when he called them? He called them some kind of men. Do you remember? Fishers of men. And how many did he send out to go and present the gospel? Two fish. Five. What are loaves when Jesus says, "The word of God is what I will eat"? Five loaves, two fish. The word of God we have. And what is five? The Pentateuch. What's in the Pentateuch? The Exodus. What's the Exodus about? The wilderness. You see? Five. The word of God. Two. You're the fisher of men. You've been given. How much do you have? And he commanded them to go to sit down. He commanded the people to go and sit down in groups on, and this is interesting, luscious grass. Now, have anybody been to the wilderness? How many places do you see luscious grass going along? Have you ever heard of the wilderness in the Middle East? There's less. So Mark's doing something here. Why would he say luscious grass, O reader? Well, let me read one. First, he's saying, "I, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in what? Luscious pastures. Green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What is Jesus doing here except saying, "I am the Lord. I am your shepherd. I'm bringing you here"? Oh, but it doesn't end there. Ezekiel, the prophet, says this, "And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from their countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country." Oops. I will feed them with good, abundant, lush pasture. And the mountain heights, Israel shall be grazing land. There shall lie down in the good grazing land, and on the rich pasture they shall feed on the mountain of Israel. And here's the important point. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. Why does Mark say it's a lush pasture? Because he's trying to tell you right now, the Lord has come. The shepherd has come. That's why he puts it there. Isn't that beautiful? That Yahweh himself is sitting there and he's about to host dinner. And he's fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament. I myself will make them lie down. And that's what he told them to do, declares the Lord my God. Do you think Mark knew what he was doing? The Lord has come to feed these incredible people. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. This is very mysterious because this is the way the military was told to sit during the Exodus. Have you figured out yet that this is an Exodus story? A new Exodus? Lush grass, wilderness, in the middle of nowhere? People following God? It's 100% a story about a new Exodus. And even now they sit. Now why did they sit? Did they sit like that? Or did Jesus tell them to sit like that? I don't know. Some people argue that they sat like that because they thought it was a revolution because they misunderstood Jesus. Others say that Jesus knew they were going to sit like that and wanted to make a point that this is a different war. Whatever is happening, it's the Exodus. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. And broke the loaves, which is a normal Jewish practice. And gave them to the disciples. Notice who gives out the food. The ones who are supposed to be fishers of men. Who are supposed to bring the Exodus. They distribute it to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. The scriptures say, when the Lord comes, you will be satisfied. It's used for that reason. This is a picture that all of the Old Testament is being fulfilled in one guy, Jesus Christ. He is the God of the Exodus, the God that gives men, and the God who provides for his people. He's a king with compassion, and he's nothing like Herod Antipas, who only invites the rich and the wealthy, and his highlight of his feast is a beheading of a prophet. Now, what are you going to choose is what Mark's saying. Are you going to choose a king like the world and the politics that gets you power, or are you going to choose the kingdom of God? It's an either or, because they don't mix. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up how many baskets? 12. Come on, we must have some Old Testament people here. What's the number 12 mean? The 12 tribes of Israel, right? He has reconstituted Israel amongst these disciples. This is the Exodus. He's the God who leads Israel out. But this Israel is a mess. Just like the original. A bunch of nobodies who ran after him, who want a totally different kind of king. And he's come and he says, there are sheep without shepherds because they've been taught wrong. They've been taught about the powers of this age rather than Jesus Christ. And then it says, those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. That's another mysterious one because that has to do with men. Remember, they all went men and women. There would have been more than 5,000. But they count the men because there's a war coming, but it's not the kind of war they thought. Because the Exodus that Jesus brings is not out of a political prisoner, a pharaoh, a slavery that you make monuments, and a death that happens to you in persecution. The Exodus Jesus brings is so much greater. It's away from the ultimate antagonist the Satan. It's against the ultimate self-destruction, the slavery of sin. And it's about getting out of our worst enemy, death. The Exodus has changed, but he had always promised it. It just changed the way. And now Israel had to decide. Would they follow their leaders and have a revolution? Or would they follow Jesus, who said, love your enemies? That's a tough one. What Mark's saying is, this is God's word. This is God's kingdom. Are you willing to follow this, or are you going to follow the politics of your age? Unfortunately, as we know, though the remnant followed Jesus, Israel didn't. They went the way of Caesar, and God, like he always does, says, you want Caesar, here you go. And he gave them the Caesar, literally. And he destroyed Israel. Because that's what the Caesar does. Good thing, I'm so thankful, that the church doesn't wrestle with contemporary politics anymore. Good thing this can't speak to us. But is it possible that we have sheep without a shepherd? Have we ever thought that perhaps we have churches who are more caught up in the political atmosphere of the day than the kingdom of God? Now, I'm going to get in trouble here. I wish I had like a plexiglass just so when the tomatoes came flying. And one of you is going to love one of my posts, and the other group's going to love the other post. You're probably going to hate it. But I'm going to show you, in our world, two extreme views of when the church has got caught up in exactly the kind of politics of today that they did. You seen that? That was all over the January 6th insurrection. If you can't read it, it says, God, guns, and Trump, and with a cross and two AK, what, I don't know what those things are. Now, I know some people are going to throw eggs at me. It's okay. I can assure you, this is contemporary nationalism, no different than Israel in the first century. I understand there's passion behind it. I understand that some people find this is comforting to them because they feel oppressed. I get that. I do. But I can assure you one thing, that does not represent the kingdom of God brought to you by Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry if you hate me. But I have studied Scripture, and I have not found Trump in the Bible, actually. There's not a whole lot about guns, but there is a lot about swords, and it's not actually that positive. And by no means is the cross, and you can see the imagery here, all about making America great again. And you say, of course, Emery, some of you, of course this isn't. Of course this isn't the people of God. Well, just hold on. I told you the other side's going to hate me. Okay? So, neither is this. If you're looking at that, this is a gentleman who has a rainbow-colored sash. He's got the transgender picture behind him. In his church, he has the BLM, the traditional Marxist, neo-Marxist political moves. And I'm going to assure you right now, this is a political move. And just like the other one, it's just on the different side, it is a political movement that's trying to change our culture. And people feel the necessity in our culture to pick one or the other. Well, what I say to you and what I'm sitting here saying to you is, I actually don't care about your politics. I have my own politics. But when we get to the kingdom of God, none of this stuff is going to matter. Our call is to follow Jesus Christ, not a political figure or a political ideology that has nothing to do with the Scriptures. Amen. Wow, I didn't get hit. Oh, phew. I told my mom, I said, I'm nervous about this one. But what I'm trying to do, and these are extreme examples, is point out, folks, that what happened to Jesus happens today when we put in things that aren't about Jesus Christ and His kingdom. When we bring our biases, and it may not be that, maybe it's you believe Jesus wants you to be healthy, wealthy, wise. That's another one that's not in the Bible. Or anything else that's culturally there. I'm telling you folks, and again, have your politics, I don't care. But the church is about being fed by the true shepherd. And if we feed the wrong food, they're going to run away. The sad part of that hippie movement is they were told a bunch of garbage. And that young Lonnie Frisbee looked at that pastor and said, they're just lost. Well, I believe right now in our culture, there are a bunch of lost people running away, and pastors are saying, oh, let's go down to the BLM riot. No! There's far better ways to deal with race relations, by the way, that's right in our scripture. I'm telling you folks, our call is to be fed by the shepherd, and His kingdom has come, and it doesn't look like this. So what does it mean to follow the shepherd? Well, the first thing, folks, it means, and this is why we have to lay down our politics, is we have to repent. We have to turn from our own selfish ideas. I want to tell you right now, both those pictures I saw come from a similar idea. It's a political idea out of the Enlightenment, which says it's all about being free as a human, okay? And it means to have power. They both are seeking power. They just disagree on what it means to be free as an individual. Think about it. When Jesus Christ came and talked about the individual, He said something really interesting. Carry your cross. If you live for yourself, you're going to die. Actually, Mark's gospel started this way. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. That means the news they were listening to wasn't good. It wasn't good. Their news that they were hearing is that God wanted them to have a fight in a war against Caesar. And Jesus came in and said, oh, I'm a compassionate God. I'm a loving God. I'm the one that will provide for you because I'm actual good news. But what does repent mean? What does it mean to really repent? It doesn't mean to feel bad. It means I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I'm going to go another way. It means to turn around. So what does that mean for us? It means that this world we're supposed to turn around from. The values. Alyssa Childers says this, and she's great, by the way, if you want to read her. We don't get to completely redefine who God is and how He works in the world and call it Christian. We don't get to make the rules and do what is right in our own eyes and yet claim to be followers of Jesus. Our only option is to do it His way or not at all. She's dead right. And everyone sitting here has an idol. And I guarantee it. And God's in the business, by the way, of smashing them. And here's why people leave God is because they love their idols more than Him. And they're political. And there are all kinds of other things. I tell you the truth, the kingdom of God is not of this world. It's in this world. We are called not to be of this world, but in this world. What does that mean? It means to be different. And how do we know? So I have to give you an answer now. I'm going to tell you right now, Scripture. Scripture is a beautiful narrative understood correctly, and it's hard work to know it. But it's His letter to us that says, this is what I look like. I want you to start looking like this. And you're going to find yourself uncomfortable if you follow it, because like Jesus, you're going to hang around with people who eventually might throw you away, who might hate you. And you're going to have to love. How many of you like to love your enemies? Does that feel good? Of course not. Because this is a life-changing revolution that hits at the core, that shatters all the hatred of all the political movements. It transcends it. John Piper, our main work is by the Spirit of God with the Word of God to portray the glories of God as more beautiful and more satisfying than anything. The only way we're going to do that is by knowing that our number one story comes from that story of Jesus Christ. Not the politics of this age, whether it's nationalism or Marxism. We are called to walk a very middle ground. And I don't care if you love Trump or hate him. I don't care if you love the left or hate it. Your choice isn't that or that. It's Jesus Christ. And here's the next thing I had to say about this. We're not doing this alone. You know what? Sheep hang out in flocks. And the real reality is, if we're going to follow this shepherd, we don't get to sit there and be the one. In fact, the only time he talks about the one, the shepherd has to leave the flock to go get him and bring him back. In our individualistic age, we think, church, who cares? Hanging out with other Christians, who cares? I'll tell you what, it matters. Because we are a flock. And the best news about this flock, and I love this, you guys, I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, whatever you are, is we all are equal. Because you know what? He died for all of us. We are all sinners. And he said, I'm going to pour grace upon you all from the cross. There is no high person and low person. I want you guys to understand something. I'm as much of a sheep as you are, even though I've been called to do shepherding. And I'm only a good shepherd if I'm walking underneath the true shepherd. And same with you. God's kingdom isn't divided into areas of important people and areas of little people. In God's sight, everyone is needful, says Tozer. And there's no other group like this. None of you here are better than anyone else, nor are you less than anyone else. You're adopted children by grace. Isn't that good news? That should solve some race relations, don't you think? When we stop hating the other. But we can only do that when we realize they're just as messed up as we are. And they're just as called as we are. You know, we've got all of these things going on, putting pressure on the church right now. All kinds of politics, all kinds of different views, left, right. And it's always like that. It's just like pressure, noise, constantly. And people bring it in because they think they need to bring in their hobby horse. But here's the truth. The only reason we exist and the only reason we will thrive is when we come to term with one thing. The only reason we're a flock is we have a shepherd. Not because of what we bring in, but because his faithfulness. We must get around our head that the only reason you and I are here is because of Jesus Christ and him alone. Not our denomination, not our background, not our demographic, not the color of our skin or our gender, because of Jesus Christ alone and his choice of us. The great martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. But he's called us. He's called all of you. and he's called you to something incredible, the good news, the new Exodus. Whether you like it or not, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are on a new Exodus. And he's saying to you, I have compassion and I'm going to feed you. You remember when I told you that Isaiah 40 was the foundation of Mark? Listen to the good news of the promise, because this is what's happening now, of Isaiah 40. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. That's God's plan. Compassion. And all he wants us to do is follow him. The shepherd is here, and he's saying, are you going to follow me? We can't end without the good news. We're the Exodus community, just like those following Jesus. We're still following Jesus. And how did he guarantee, make that guarantee for us? He went up on that cross. That kind of shepherd who's willing to die for you in such a way is somebody you can trust, and you can trust his kingdom. And nobody on the left and the right are willing to do that for you. In the cross of Christ, God is taking man dead seriously so that he may open up for him the happy freedom of Easter. God takes upon himself the pain of negation and the God-forsakenness of judgment to reconcile himself with his enemies and to give the godless people fellowship with him. That's what the kingdom of God is. And it isn't anything like the kingdoms of this age. The choice we have to make is, who are we going to follow? Because for the next 7 days, you're going to be bombarded with the politics of this age. And you have to decide, which king is my king? There's only one that can get you to the promised land, resurrection life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we live in a world of politics and hatred and anger. It's so hard for us to live Christianly in a world where everyone's telling us, you have to go this way, you have to go that. Father, help us to go the one way. In that video, it showed them all raising their Bibles. May we raise our Bibles. And Lord, I want to pray for those young people who have never heard this good news, who are caught in the damaging politics of those around them who want power. May they encounter you, the living God, and may there be another revival that takes this broken generation and gives them life. In Jesus' name, amen.